This is Walter Cronkite reporting with news and commentary on the CBS Radio Network. Tomorrow will be the first anniversary of the Three Mile Island accident, the worst in the history of nuclear power in this country. Since the accident, spokesmen and supporters of the nuclear industry repeatedly have insisted that no one was injured by that near disaster. Physiologically, that may or may not be true. But there is voluminous evidence of psychic injury, the damage of fear among many who live in the shadow of Three Mile Island's cooling towers. Some details after this message.
The best way to tackle any lawn-cutting job is with a quality mower like the kind you'll find at True Value hardware stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you they offer values like the economical Service 19-inch 3-horsepower rotary mower for just $89.99. And the feature-pack Lawn Chief 20-inch rotary mower for just $139.99, including an easy-lift starter, wheel-height adjusters, full baffle, and much more. You'll also find many other Lawn Chief mowers to choose from exclusively at True Value hardware stores, from self-propelled models and rear baggers to powerful lawn tractors, plus a wide selection of name-brand lawn and garden supplies for all your outdoor needs, all in the lawn and garden section of participating True Value hardware stores and home centers. And save gas. You won't have to drive far for your hardware and houseware needs. If you're looking for value, service, and selection, you'll find them nearby at any one of the more than 5,000 True Value hardware stores and home centers located nationwide.
As part of the cleaning up process at Three Mile Island, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission recently announced plans to vent some 24 million cubic feet of Krypton 85, a radioactive gas, into the air. The NRC assured residents of the surrounding area that venting would be entirely safe. Some accepted those assurances. But for others, the announcement seemed to revive anxieties which had died down in the years since the accident. For many, anxiety seems too gentle a word. Fear, and the fury born of fear, has brought some to state openly that they feel their sanity is threatened, or that they may leave their families or become violent. More than a dozen studies made in and around Middletown, Pennsylvania since the accident have concluded that its major health effect seems to be on the mental health of people in the area. And a new report due next month from the State Department of Health is expected to show serious and continuing mental health problems. Psychologists say even those who scoff at the fears of their neighbors may be suffering the effects of repressed anxiety. The very nature of radiation makes such fears all the harder to control. It is silent and invisible, not thoroughly understood, but capable of horrendous things in large enough amounts. Like the devil of old, it can inspire hysteria out of all proportion to any real danger. In Pennsylvania, it feeds on stories of unexplained illnesses among the local cattle and statistical increases in infant mortality at local hospitals. Mothers fear what may be happening to their children and to children they may have in the future. Dread, uncertainty, and the feeling of helplessness can damage anyone's mental equilibrium over time. But that's only part of the problem. Another is the earned mistrust of the authorities on matters nuclear. The misstatements, half-truths, and general confusion which last year radiated from Three Mile Island, the utility that runs it, and the NRC in Washington, may have turned reassurance into a cause for further alarm. That's a problem that has plagued the advocates of nuclear energy since the 1950s, the legacy of ignorance, arrogance, and bad faith in the development and promotion of this rich new energy source. The fact is that there are a lot of people in the Middletown area who just don't believe those officials who tell them that the venting of Krypton 85 is entirely safe. And in a sense, whether it is or not, has become almost beside the point. The psychological wounds of fear and anxiety have to be treated. They're as real as the reactor damage and even more important. Many other Americans have shared those fears, if only vicariously, and that fact has begun to cool the enthusiasm for nuclear power in many parts of the country.
Here's another first from Amana. A first and only. Amana is the first and only manufacturer of microwave ovens exempted from displaying the U.S. government safety warning label. That's because after passing a series of tough government safety tests, the Amana radar range microwave oven didn't just meet federal safety standards, it exceeded them. And no other manufacturer can make that claim. Remember, if it doesn't say Amana, it's not a radar range.
This is Walter Cronkite reporting for CBS News.
This is The World Tonight. Good evening. I'm Marlene Sanders, CBS News. An oil rig platform used as a kind of floating hotel for oil workers was battered by gale winds and began sinking today in the North Sea off the coast of Norway. The lives of more than 200 people were thrown into jeopardy. We have a report from Doug Tunnell.
With rescue operations still underway, a number of bodies have been recovered from the North Sea around the capsized platform. More than 100 persons have been rescued alive so far, but the fate of some 100 others remains unknown. The storm that caused the disaster has hampered rescue efforts. Gale force winds of up to 60 knots have been reported in the area. At least one British Royal Air Force helicopter taking part in rescue operations has been ordered to return to its base in northern Britain due to the storm. The hotel complex, known as the Alexander Cullen, was part of the Ekofisk field in the North Sea. Oil company spokesmen say the complex began to collapse as one of its five legs gave way in today's storm. The exact number on board when the leg gave way is unknown. Workers were between shifts, moving off and on the hotel platform as the disaster occurred. There are reports of a number of those on board the Alexander Cullen being trapped in the platform's theater. The platform was at last report still floating upside down in the North Sea. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, London.
More news after this.
For the National Association of Realtors, this is Greg Morris with On the Home Front. The actual mechanics of buying a home can seem a little confusing, but if you keep in mind three simple points, all should go well. First, take advantage of the expertise of a realtor. Secondly, when you work out the initial buying contract with the seller, get everything in writing. Get the professional advice you need to understand all points of the agreements, exact price, what comes with the house and what doesn't. And thirdly, before you close, make sure that you are happy and that you completely understand your obligations and the seller's. Now's the time. Tomorrow will be too late. For more tips, talk to a realtor. Realtors support equal opportunity in housing and want to make buying a home as easy as possible for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors, working for America's property owners.
It's taken almost a year, but the U.S. Senate finally completed action today on the windfall profits bill and sent it to the White House for signature. Nelson Benton reports.
Voting nearly 2-1 in favor, the Senate approved a $227 billion windfall oil tax, the final congressional action on the measure designed to tax away some of the industry's windfall resulting from decontrolled crude oil prices. It's not as big a tax as President Carter had asked for, but Mr. Carter left no doubt he'll sign the measure in a telephone conversation with Senate Majority Leader Robert Byrd.
Mr. President, this is a great day for energy. We've just adopted the conference report on the windfall profits tax.
This is going to be wonderful news for our country, because this will help, I think, to set the tone in our country for a major commitment that hasn't been adequate so far to resolve the long-term energy problems. And I'm grateful to you, to all the members of the Congress, and to Senator Byrd for your great leadership.
Senators from oil-producing states had stalled final action on the measure for a week, and today they made one last unsuccessful effort to delay or scuttle it. The tax will take effect retroactively as of March 1st if Mr. Carter signs it soon, which he is expected to do. Nelson Benton, CBS News at the U.S. Senate.
More news when the World Tonight continues.
When an orange says sun-kissed on the outside, you know it's juicy and sweet on the inside.
Eat sun-kissed sweet. It'll knock you off of your feet. It's so fresh and juicy, plump and a heavenly. Eat sun-kissed sweet.
Sink your teeth into a big, bursting, sweet, succulent, scintillating, juicy, vibrant, luscious, lip-smacking, mouth-watering, tongue-tickling sun-kissed orange.
Eat sun-kissed sweet.
Call 1-800-528-1234, Best Western.
You can call Best Western any day or night.
We'll get you a room that will be just right.
Round the world, lodging for you. When you want Best Western, here's all you do.
Call 1-800-528-1234, Best Western. 1-800.
Secretary of State Vance was on Capitol Hill today to testify before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. That committee is looking into foreign and defense policies, both of them at issue in this election year. Iran was one of the main items up for discussion, and Vance made some progress toward compromise there. Marvin Kalb reports.
The hearings were spurred by deepening doubts on Capitol Hill about the administration's ability to conduct a coherent foreign policy. But if you expected a confrontation between the senators and the secretary, you'd have been disappointed. The senators were complimentary, polite, non-confrontational. The secretary etched out in general terms the lines of American foreign policy, starting with the need for adequate military security and ending with another proclamation on human rights. But Chairman Frank Church raised the novel idea that the committee issue a kind of white paper on American policy towards Iran as one way of hastening the hostages' release. Vance accepted the idea.
To produce an historical document based upon the facts, which would be determined, I assume, by the staff of your committee, would not present any difficulties.
The point is that Iran has been demanding an admission of American guilt before the hostages are freed. President Carter refuses to apologize. This committee initiative is designed to bridge the differences between the two sides. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Wall Street story in a moment.
If it's Carter versus Reagan next November, how will the voters line up? This week, Newsweek magazine's exclusive poll shows surprising strength for Reagan, plus other surprises, too. Also in Newsweek this week, reports on how the U.S. skimps on airport safety, how low pay is driving men out of the army, how surgeons are making nearsighted eyes normal, how children's TV is growing up. And for an incisive report on how the new tight credit program will affect you, read The Credit Tumble, Newsweek's cover story. Nobody gives you the week like Newsweek.
Here's another first from Amana. The Amana three-door ice and water refrigerator. The first side-by-side refrigerator with an ice and water dispenser built in separately from the two freezer doors. That saves on wear and tear. That also gives you a freezer above the ice and water dispenser for everyday frozen foods and one below for longer storage. The Amana three-door ice and water refrigerator. The first refrigerator with a separate built-in ice and water dispenser. Amana, backed by a century-old tradition of fine craftsmanship.
The price of silver collapsed today, and Wall Street went through some very nervous moments before it finally settled down. Mitchell Krause has a report.
The nation's already nervous financial markets had a very rough day. It started with silver, the precious metal the billionaire Hunt brothers hold in huge quantities. Rumors of liquidation of some of their holdings caused a near panic on the New York Commodity Exchange. Silver prices, which touched $50 an ounce earlier this year, but which had already fallen sharply, fell another $5 to around $10. Bache Halsey Stewart Shields, a big brokerage house with many silver customers, was forced to make margin calls for more cash to many of them. The customers didn't have enough cash. Bache had to liquidate their accounts, and the Securities and Exchange Commission decided the problem required a suspension in the trading of Bache stock until the situation stabilized. This, in turn, shook the stock markets, which were already having another down day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, down 6 points at 2 p.m., plunged almost 26 points by 3:30. But cooler heads finally prevailed, and the Dow ended the day off only a couple of points. However, the more speculative issues on the American exchange were harder hit, and that exchange average suffered its biggest one-day drop ever. Mitchell Krause, CBS News, New York.
The closing figures on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial stood at 760, down 2.14. The average price per share was down 34 cents on the New York Exchange, volume about 64 million shares. The average price down $1.10 on the American Exchange. Wall Street on This World Tonight.
This is Jody Hammond for Assignment 80. It's been a year since Three Mile Island captured the attention of the world, almost bringing to life the plot of The China Syndrome, a movie that had just been released. Tonight, an examination of Three Mile Island, Pennsylvania, what happened a year ago, and what the impact has been on the nuclear industry, the residents living near the TMI plant, and beyond. Government officials and members of the nuclear industry say they were ready for the big accident. Instead, it was a minor pump failure at TMI's reactor number 2 that triggered a series of mechanical malfunctions which proved devastating when combined with human error.
The bottom line of our investigation is that Three Mile Island accident was an accident that was ready to happen.
The words of Dr. Thomas Pigford, chairman of the Nuclear Engineering Department at Berkeley and a member of the Kemeny Commission, appointed by President Carter to investigate the accident. The Kemeny Commission concluded that equipment failures were not the main cause of the accident. Pigford maintains that the nuclear industry and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission were aware of the problems that led to the crisis at TMI, bringing the unit within an hour of a core meltdown.
The basic problem with Three Mile Island was the thing that confused the operators, this confusion of fault after they had that open valve, like a break in the system, a one-inch break. The pressure fell, the water pressure fell, but the water level rose. And that confused them, and they did the wrong thing. They turned the emergency cooling water off.
The problem was not unique to nuclear plants built by Babcock and Wilcox, which constructed the Three Mile Island facility. Westinghouse had experienced a similar problem many years before and had notified the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Pigford says it was the NRC which dropped the ball. However, General Public Utilities Corporation, the parent company of Metropolitan Edison, which owns and operates TMI, has filed a $500 million suit against Babcock and Wilcox. The suit accuses B&W of gross negligence in the system's design and in operating instructions. What emerges from the Kemeny report is termed by Dr. Pigford as a people problem. The surprisingly widespread human inadequacy found at the plant and among those in the nuclear industry and the NRC. Much of the blame was placed on operator training, which didn't pay enough attention to how the system worked. That is reflected in General Public's suit. For all the emotional, financial, and bureaucratic upheaval that TMI has caused, one NRC official believes the accident has stimulated the nuclear industry to look at itself. Indeed, a positive step. John Collins, deputy director of the Nuclear Regulatory's Technical Support Group at Three Mile Island, feels that if he and his colleagues take to heart the lessons of TMI, there is hope for nuclear power.
If the lessons that have been learned as a result of this accident are fully implemented, and if the people and the general people feeling of the people and they were in the country recognize that there was a serious accident, and that even as a result of that serious accident, the exposures to the public were very small, then I believe that certainly the nuclear industry can survive.
Collins, other NRC officials, and anyone connected with Metropolitan Edison have a tremendous public relations problem on their hands. The Kemeny Commission concludes that the off-site radiation effects of TMI were negligible. Dr. Michael Gluck, who lives less than 4 miles from the reactor, doesn't buy that or most of the other information furnished by government officials.
During the first 3 days of the accident, we've heard from several NRC people as well as Department of Environmental Resource people that they did not actually know how much radiation was released to the public and how much the public got. That radiation equipment by Metropolitan Edison was fairly inadequate. And only from Friday on, when the NRC brought in all their monitoring equipment, did they really get an accurate dose.
Recent cleanup inspections at Three Mile Island have revealed additional minor radiation leaks. Dr. Gluck is joined by Patricia Smith, another TMI area resident, both of whom describe themselves as having been neutral or even pro-nuclear before last year's accident.
Middle income, this conservative people we are, Republican territory. We're the last to wake up, perhaps. For that, I apologize, but now we're awake. And I think that's why the utilities and the NRC are very upset with us and the nuclear issue. This is the class, the middle class, that took everything, accepted the government for everything they stood for, and paid our taxes on time.
Mrs. Smith says Metropolitan Edison and the federal government thought she and her neighbors could be depended upon not to make waves. Now it's anything but smooth sailing for the nuclear industry. More on what's ahead for both sides after this.
In the early 1950s, when everyone was laughing at his latest impossible dream, Walt Disney did what he always did. He didn't pay any attention. Instead, he borrowed on his own life insurance to start a new company he called WED, W-E-D for Walter Elias Disney. He staffed this new company with writers and architects, artists, engineers, and computer specialists. And he put them to work at something he called Imagineering. The rest, of course, is history. The WED Imagineers created Disneyland and Walt Disney World. And today they're facing a new challenge.
designing and developing Walt Disney's greatest dream, Epcot Center, the largest private construction project in the history of the world. Perhaps you can help, because the Disney people are looking for Imagineers. To find out more about Epcot Center and the role you can play in it, look for Disney's ad in the main news section of this Sunday's Los Angeles Times.
I'm Jody Hammond for KNX News Radio's Assignment 80, 3 Mile Island, 1 year later. Last week, residents from the Harrisburg area around TMI journeyed to Washington to talk with nuclear regulatory commissioners. They had a lot on their minds and weren't afraid to express themselves.
In terms of my measure of where the people are in relationship to the environment and the purge and the reports, hey, friend, we have had it.
The people of Central Pennsylvania feel that they have been sold down the tubes by everyone.
The problem really is one of distrust. It's absolute distrust.
We are the people of this nation, and I think that people have to be considered first.
The people who live around 3 Mile Island grow even more apprehensive as the cleanup continues at Metropolitan Edison's Unit 2. Radioactive water that spilled from the cooling system into an auxiliary building must be removed, along with 600,000 gallons of radioactive water in Unit 2's containment building. Radioactive Krypton 85, which had been trapped in the building's airlock since the accident, was vented into the atmosphere earlier this month. Metropolitan Edison admits it's behind schedule in the cleanup, while the Krypton releases have done anything but endear the utility to the surrounding residents, including Patricia Smith.
It's like a slow gas death. But they tell us, don't worry, just a little bit of radiation once in a while when there's a release. But you must remember that's cumulative. I just feel it's like gassing us. And my neighbors, there's tension every day of their lives. Some of my neighbors said they don't want to leave their children alone, home alone anymore, because let's say they'd be out of the area at a meeting for fear there'd be a problem. They couldn't get into their children. A lot of people are talking about sending their children away to finish school if these, the cleanup's going on.
Public officials say they can understand Mrs. Smith's anxieties. William Dornsife is chief nuclear engineer for the Pennsylvania Bureau of Radiological Protection. He says, just the same, the facts point in a more comforting direction.
I really don't blame a number of citizens around there from being concerned, because there is a very large lack of information and knowledge about the effects of radiation in the general public. But believe me, radiation has been more well studied than any other environmental problem. And there is an awful lot of data. And most of the experts believe that the risk factors that are being used to estimate some of these health effects are indeed conservative.
3 Mile Island resident Dr. Michael Gluck says because much of the radiation information is unreliable, there's plenty of uncertainty among the community.
They don't know the actual nuclear dose received by the public. So right now, everything is still speculation. The population here lives in dread and fear that their children will develop leukemia or can develop leukemia or cancer. And the psychological effects so far I've seen in the area surrounding me, as well as my own patients, have been pretty much devastating to a lot of people.
Kemeny Commission member Dr. Thomas Pigford says a medical study to trace whether any cancers develop as the result of TMI radiation will do more harm than good.
The average dose to the individual, even those people in close, was like 1/30th of what they already get yearly from background irradiation. It was about 1/20th of what they normally get yearly from a well-administered medical x-ray. What do you expect to see if you see anything? Well, the thing you would look for is cancer, because that's the most likely result from radiation. Even background radiation, which theoretically makes cancers, does not make enough to be detected.
Despite the credentials of Kemeny Commission members, the credibility gap remains. In the words of one 3 Mile Island resident who has formed an anti-nuclear citizens group, certainly MetEd isn't going to tell us anything they don't want us to know, and neither is the NRC. Asked if either body has anything to hide, the NRC's deputy director of the 3 Mile Island Technical Support Group denies that there has been any holding back on information.
At no time have we ever withheld any information about what's going on at the site. To my knowledge, in a very close to the situation, MedEd has not withheld any information.
John Collins concedes that the NRC was responsible for confusion in statements being released to the public as the accident progressed. He blames the media for complicating an already sensitive situation by failing to accurately report the information that was available.
It's very unfortunate. I think in some cases the public has already made up their mind. They're not hearing what they want to hear. So in that light, what we are telling them, they don't believe us. I do not believe that that represents a majority of the people up here. What percentage it does represent, I really don't know. I believe that the federal agencies that are involved in the cleanup operation, such as the NRC and the Environmental Protection Agency and the state, are doing a very credible job.
Those words ring hollow to Patricia Smith, who can't escape Three Mile Island even in her own home.
I see approximately three-quarters of the cooling towers when the leaves are off the trees from my bedroom window, from my patio, my kitchen window, and my driveway and my yard. I can't get away from it. And I think we've kind of done our own little survey, and we've decided the homes where you can see the towers, those are the homes that aren't selling. But out of sight, out of mind, a few people come in and buy homes.
Mrs. Smith says a study has been conducted by the state of Pennsylvania on real estate values in the Three Mile Island area. Home sales are down 30% for the property up to 20 miles from the plant, down 75% within 5 miles. She says those living in the TMI area are virtual hostages because they can't sell their homes without taking a substantial loss. Individual losses pale in comparison to those experienced by the nuclear industry. More on that when Assignment 80 continues.
I was mad at the salesman. The salesman was mad at me. We were both mad at the programmers.
Right.
Finally, I just said, forget it.
We're talking to another customer of ADP, Automatic Data Processing, and a former computer user.
No, I don't even qualify as a former computer user because we never actually got the thing going.
Oh?
When I realized what I was getting into, I started thinking, do I really need a computer?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to say no. What I needed was help with my payroll, accounts receivable and payable. And you don't need a computer to get that. So, I called off the computer company and called in the computing company, ADP. What a difference. No hardware, no software, none of that stuff I don't even really understand. ADP takes all the problems that surround my job and lets me concentrate on doing my job. Doesn't that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You do what you do best, but the computing company do the computing.
Every business, your business, needs computing help, and you don't have to have a computer to get it. Call ADP, the computing company, toll-free at 800-431-2457.
This is Jody Hammond for Assignment 80. We've been discussing the emotional and medical impact of the Three Mile Island nuclear accident a year ago. Those things which can't be estimated in dollar loss. But the nuclear industry is suffering much more than credibility deficits following the worst accident in the history of U.S. atomic power. It's been estimated that the total cost of the TMI accident could run up to $1 billion. It's going to cost MedEd an estimated $400 million to repair TMI's Unit 2. General Public Utilities, Metropolitan Edison's parent company, has seen its cash reserves sink to an all-time low. A Merrill Lynch study shows companies owning the same Babcock-Wilcox-designed reactor used at TMI have had their stock decline substantially in value. And then there are the nuclear plants which await completion or licensing in order to begin operation. Several plants throughout the country were affected by a moratorium on the licensing of any new plants imposed by the NRC last year. That moratorium has since been lifted. One is Pacific Gas and Electric's Diablo Canyon plant near San Luis Obispo. PG&E spokesman Richard Davin tells KNX News Radio the plant should have been online by now, and the delay is costing the utility and its customers.
If Diablo Canyon were totally ready to operate today, the cost would run about $10 million a month just for interest, that is, the cost of money already borrowed. But of more significance, it's considerably more than $20 million a month for the cost of oil that we have to burn to generate the electricity that would be generated by Diablo Canyon. So that comes out to over $1 million a day.
The cost of building nuclear reactors has more than doubled, partly because of inflation and partly because of tighter government regulations. Most of the recommendations of the Kemeny Commission are concerned with minimizing the chance for human error. New Nuclear Regulatory Commission rules have increased the number of experts at the nuclear plant site, and there are simulated accidents, so employees are more familiar with what can go wrong and then what to do. Two new supervisory bodies have been organized within the last year, the Institute of Nuclear Power Operations in Atlanta and the Nuclear Safety Analysis Center in Palo Alto. Although both are seen as a positive step and are industry-funded, Dr. Pigford worries that the industry runs the risk of being overregulated despite the NRC's good intentions.
They are too detailed. They are not prioritized. They don't show the things that are should be emphasized to get safety. Frankly, some of them are just plain nitpicking. Complying with those and answering all the questions that are repeated over and over again in subsequent license applications, even though once answered, appears to occupy most of the technical competence of the industry.
More regulation and safeguarding of equipment mean more expense to the nuclear industry, which in turn makes nuclear power a more expensive energy alternative. Given the big question mark surrounding the availability of foreign petroleum, those supporting nuclear power wonder if the U.S. really has any choice. More from those who've already made up their minds after this.
When we started business with Manufacturers Bank, we were in a growth posture, and we needed a full-service bank that was people-oriented and that we felt could work with us. The Manufacturers Bank came to our plant, looked at our products, appeared to understand the potential.
Bill Tolley, Senior Vice President of VACO Industries, talks about his company's relationship with Manufacturers Bank.
Because of Manufacturers Bank's background, where they basically grew up with small businesses, I think they're willing to get in and work with small companies to be available if their assistance is needed.
Manufacturers Bank, member FDIC, offices in downtown Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, Hollywood, San Fernando Valley, and Newport Beach.
Manufacturers helped VACO, and VACO now, in a very liquid and profitable situation, is helping manufacturers by investing our money with Manufacturers Bank. So we've had a darn good relationship.
Manufacturers, not just another bank.
This is Jody Hammond for KNX News Radio's Assignment 80, 3 Mile Island, 1 year later. The nuclear industry has been dealt a severe, though not mortal, blow by 3 Mile Island. The industry is beginning to pick up the pieces, hoping the tide of anti-nuclear public opinion will subside. Peter Lumsdaine with the Anti-Nuclear Abalone Alliance sees TMI in the way many pro-nuclear people do, as a necessary red flag in the development of nuclear power. His conclusions, of course, are quite different.
The 3 Mile Island, I mean, I think we all really wished and prayed that that didn't have to happen. And it's a very tragic event. But given that it did happen, I think it has really woken people up that there is more and worse disasters coming if we don't put a stop to this. And I think it changed the anti-nuclear movement from a minority movement into a majority movement.
A recent Harris poll doesn't bear out Lumsdaine's statement, finding that a majority of Americans still favor nuclear power. That's by no means a resounding endorsement, since most in that majority would oppose the building of a nuclear facility near their homes. That may be the legacy of 3 Mile Island, a feeling that nuclear power is a necessary evil, but not in my neighborhood. John Collins of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission admits he's had to become much more sensitive to public opinion during the last year. But how to deal with those who remain unconvinced? Collins says the credibility problem began the day of the accident and has continued ever since. He admits there are some people who will never again have confidence in the nuclear industry or those who regulate it. Can he tell those people that another 3 Mile Island is impossible?
I don't think anybody could ever give you an assurance, 100% assurance, that you're never going to have another nuclear accident. I don't think the NRC ever indicated anywhere that there would never be any nuclear accidents. We've always described them in terms of their probabilities. And I think our job now is, as a result of the accident, to look at those things that did occur, what the causes of them, try to upgrade programs to further mitigate the consequence and lower those probabilities.
Collins predicts it may be up to 7 years before 3 Mile Island's Unit 2 goes back online. In the meantime, Unit 1, which was unaffected by the accident, is ready. Patricia Smith says the fear of having an operating nuclear plant 2.5 miles from her home dominates her life.
I know I could never sleep in my home again if they turn on that Unit number 1 at 3 Mile Island. Just waiting for the same thing to happen. That's the only picture I'll ever have. Will it happen again? What night will I be sleeping? Will I hear the siren? Will they tell me on time that I can get out safely?
The political, social, and financial fallout of Three Mile Island is destined to continue for years to come. And like an unseen cloud, the questions, doubts, and fears that remain will weigh heavily on those who, like Patricia Smith, would like to see every nuclear plant shut down. Assignment 80 is a production of KNX News Radio. Executive producer, Greg Peterson. Engineering by Bob Kermer. This program has been produced, written, and narrated by Jody Hammond.